Welcome to the Ghost Podcast. Today, my guest is Asha T. She is the author of The Empath as the Narcissist and founder of Self-Worth Warriors. Welcome to the show.
Excited to be here today. This is such a fun podcast.
So tell me, what brought you to the show? How did you hear about us? Tell me a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And hello to everybody in the audience. I hope that you receive what you came for today and then some. It's always fun to have a little bit of a chat about the energetics of ghosting and narcissism and codependency. And yeah, we came across your podcast, my team and I do a lot of podcast shows talking about my book, The Empath is the Narcissist, and my unique lens on the dynamics of pushing and pulling in relationship and who we attract. And it's been awesome. I work in emotional and energetic intelligence, and emotional intelligence is truly the missing link in like everything. And my own experience and my story has allowed me to realize how just how deep, how much emotional intelligence isn't enough. There's plenty of charismatic, alluring assholes out there. It's how are you internally as well as externally? And that's why I founded my business and wrote the book.
So tell me about the title of your book. Tell me more, what does that mean? How is the empath a narcissist?
Yes. So I am, among other modalities, I work a lot in energy. So I'm a shaman from Peru. Well, I'm not from Peru, but I've studied under the Peruvian shamans. And there's a really cool old saying, Rosemary, and it goes, the man asks the shaman, how will I know my ally? And the shaman says, well, that's easy. He'll be the one that tries to kill you. And so in my belief system, it has always been about pure love for each soul at every level. And in order for me to write this book, I had to experience an extremely crazy story, which I'd love to share with you all, to show and prove that the empath and the narcissist are the same coin, two different sides. And the main thing that they're both missing is self-love. And so we end up attracting one another as adults to replicate the pain of the unloved parts that we have within ourselves from potentially when we were children or even our ancestors for up to 20 generations before us. So this particular lifetime, 2024, we've sort of, and I know you could probably relate to this, Rosemary, like we're like healing. We're like doing this deeper healing stuff. Like a lot of our parents didn't really have this. And trauma stacks year on year and year and year and year and year and generation, generation. It kind of, so it turned into like a pressure cooker. And so our generation sort of being asked to expose all that. And in that, we have to understand that each soul starts off pure. And then it's the stories and the programming that make us behave in these unloving ways, even in the pain.
Do you want to tell me more about the story that you mentioned that brought you to write the book?
Yes. Once upon a time. Okay. So I'll tell you, this is a great story. So it's in the book too. The book is actually designed to help heal people. It's filled with like all different types of meditations and activations and different things that people can do in order to start their journey and open their eyes. So when I was about 18, I attracted this man and we were in love, and it was like, you know, this massive, you know, like energetic, like, oh my God, you know, that feeling where you're like, oh my God, like we're of the same cut, you know, whatever, soul family, blah, blah, blah. Of course, riddled in trauma within, you know, 60 days or 90 days, we were fighting each other and then cheating on each other and all this other dramatic shit that happens when you're about 18 years old. And then we were dating for about 2 years. And I went to school for theater and dance, and I was so bright. I was so live. And we ended up breaking up. And when we broke up, I hated him. I like had so much anger toward him. And I moved to Australia, and I ended up with my husband, and I couldn't like love my husband. I just couldn't. I was really the avoidant one. I was the one that was sort of the narcissist in my marriage. And then I got sick with cancer, And I knew that I was like fairly healthy. And I was like, what is this? And I stumbled across an energy healer and she was like, you have an attachment. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I do know what that means. And then I started going down this path of emotional intelligence as I kept healing myself, I kept healing myself, kept healing myself. All of a sudden I started like losing all this weight. I started to feel good. I was still like uncomfortable around my husband. Like I couldn't even like be around him. And then in 2020, all of a sudden, one night, I just reached out to that man from 18 years ago. Classic, just FYI, classic narcissistic behavior. Like, oh, let me just reach out to this toxic ex from like freaking 20 years ago. And when I reached out, he said to me, I can't believe you just reached out. I just let you go. And I said, and I responded, I think I felt that. And all of a sudden, I just went, and it was like I don't know if you've ever taken like plant medicine, like ayahuasca or shrooms or anything, but it was like I literally just started like bugging out. I started throwing up and I lost about 40 pounds and I was completely activated. They call it like a twin flame activation. And then we just were like, we're gonna get back together. And I left my marriage. And then within 6 weeks, he ghosted me. And it was like, and it was like my whole heart came out of my chest, and I started to see energy. And so then I realized to my husband, I said, oh my God, I couldn't love you because I couldn't love myself. And then he became the narcissist and he left and he moved away. And so I got to see in live time how this works. The book goes into much more detail about how we're always just sort of pushing and pulling into like this place of self-love, this deep self-love. And yeah, it was quite the adventure. And then there were a few other men that have been able to help keep the story going. So yeah, it's amazing.
So how do you define a narcissist then, and how do you define an empath?
Yeah, so narcissism for me can be really boiled down to avoidance. So when we look at a narcissist, typically they have a very high level of charisma or magnetism. So people have a hard time believing that they're actually even bad people in a lot of cases, right? Like they're kicking ass at work. They're like, everybody loves them. And in fact, you see this a lot with women. Women will be like keeping up with the Joneses or like putting this persona on online where like everything at home is being suffering or like they're omitting sex from their partner. We see it with men as well, but it just can't be denied that both of us are, we're all fucked. Like really, like, until we start the healing. So that's what narcissism is they usually typically have a really beautiful persona out there, and then the ones closest to them suffer. It's like the mother who pretends to be like happy on the screen, but then if her kid walked in the door, she'd be like, get out, I'm filming, something like this. And I used to be very much like that. I was so uptight and so like married to my work. And so that's an avoidance of the heart. It's an avoidance. And then when we have avoidance, we tend to breadcrumb or like lead other people on. And then, if the other person starts to get a little more power, that's when a narcissist typically ghosts. And then the codependent, the empath, unhealed empath, really, they're codependent on that power almost. Like they almost feel like they can't have their own power. And so they hook into each other. And then when the narcissist and the one that ghosts seems to be more of the villain, even though the codependent is playing a role. And so what I teach my clients, they're typically the codependent who's had that experience. They're in collapse. Like they almost feel like you can really get caught in victim in that place. And you don't want that. You want to, if you desire to really manifest your life, you have to sort of take responsibility for both sides of the coin. And so it's like avoidance and then codependence, anxious and avoidant attachment.
A lot of people who've come on the podcast to share their stories, were just theorizing that a lot of their ghosters were narcissists.
Yeah.
How do you feel that ghosting and narcissism go together? Do you think that it's much more common for narcissists to do this? And is there anything that somebody can do to try to protect themselves or spot that early on?
Yeah, well, the first thing is definitely the person who ghosts is the avoidant person. They're avoiding something. Now, what can happen, whether it's a man or a woman, they almost like lure you in, and then when they get you, they can play a slow game. So they can literally like almost like wait a long time and then drop you, which to be fair, I own that about myself. I was married for 10 years. As in fact, most women leave men because men aren't growing fast enough. And what happens is sometimes even when we're ghosted, even if the person's like communicating a little bit, if we're hurt enough, if the codependent is hurt enough, they can't even hear it. They like still want to blame. So again, the truth is the more emotionally intelligent you become, the more sovereign you become, right? This is how you can spot it. It's your own emotional intelligence, your own inner vibration of like solid and heart open. It's like a combination of empathy and power. The more you're going to attract that exact same thing. And if someone decides to ghost, like it doesn't even affect you anymore. Like, so I'm going to give a good example. You cannot be ghosted by someone who you don't think has more power or love than you. So if I met you, Rosemary, say me and you, right? We meet on like a dating app and I'm like, oh my God, Rosemary is like all that. And I like fall deeply in love with you and you ghost me and I get affected by that. There's something in me that I don't love. And so if you didn't matter to me and you tried to ghost me, it's almost like hilarious. So you have to find that power inside yourself in order to allow people to move in and out. It doesn't mean that you won't be hurt if the relationship has come to a completion. It's just about always digging deeper into trust, power, and love.
This is something I think a lot about because I 100% agree with you that having that self-worth is the key to being able to survive ghosting, get over ghosting, not be affected by ghosting. But I feel like it's really tricky because a lot of times you learn that self-worth and that self-love through these really traumatic experiences you have, where you learn from them and you take that opportunity to grow. And, I think it's hard to have one without the other. And, a lot of people come on this podcast, they're in the middle of that journey, and trying to get to that other side.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Okay, so there's a really cool, there's an awesome doctor. Her name is Dr. Susan Anderson. She writes a really cool, five-letter acronym called SWIRL, which describes the abandonment wound. So we're always in abandonment when we feel ghosted or we feel betrayed or we feel, victim. We are always in the abandonment of either one of two things, the masculine or the feminine. That's it. That's all there is. Your DNA is made of masculine and feminine energy. So if you are a woman and you get ghosted by the masculine, you have to repair the relationship with your inner masculine. If you are a man getting ghosted by a woman, you have to repair the relationship with the inner feminine, which isn't really like, it's not about more emotions. It's about just knowing that's what DNA is made of. It's one strand of masculine, one strand of feminine. Like it can come down to that all the time. Now, the problem is that it's not just your mom and dad. It's like 20 to 50. I actually think it goes back for like shitloads of lifetimes. Like even the story you described to me about your own journey, Rosemary, like there's some ancient shit in that, like some witch stuff and some like dominant stuff that may have happened like back in the day when you were like living in a kingdom. So, like, and we still have that because we're made up of codes. All we are codes and energy. And so the reality is like, in order to heal it, we're missing a huge piece, which is the energetics. Like, we're not even taught energy. So, my son, for example, and probably your son, because of the journey you've gone through and your children, right? Like, if you have children, they basically will experience whatever you heal, they won't have to heal. So they'll get like a little bit more solid in their relationship. And so for me as a mom, it is vital that I don't hold pain against the masculine because I'm raising a little boy. And so if I have pain against one of his brothers that I attracted, I'm going to push that onto my son and then he'll attract a woman who hates men and the perpetuation keeps happening. So my main advice for women especially, is to heal the depths of the father wound. Like, and you might even be listening and be like, I don't have a problem with my father. I get that. I have a really great relationship with my dad. But it's so much more than just like the dad. It's like this huge, like, abandonment wound and rejection wound and all these bigger core wounds that will help you. And just quick with that, like, there's no such thing as betrayal or ghosting when you get to a point where you are so solid in who you are with your heart open. Like, you don't have any expectations on anybody else. You're just like cruise. And that's like true enlightenment, you know, which is a lot of fun if you want to go for it in this lifetime. Why not? What else are you doing?
Asha, let me ask you a couple of follow-up questions I have. The first one is, I think, you know, we say that everybody has like a little bit of narcissism in them, but I think a lot of people who ghost are just simply really immature and lack emotional awareness. So how do you tell when it's like a true narcissist versus just that immaturity? And then, well, let me let you answer that. Then I'll ask you the second question.
Okay. So what happens in our mind, in our brain, in our subconscious is, let's say there's a man called Tom, and he has a really traumatic situation happen when he's 14 and like his father leaves or dies. What will happen with Tom is that he will somehow shield himself and protect himself all the way up until he's in his 40s, 50s, 60s. Now, if Tom's not doing some deeper healing work to work through that, Tom is probably going to walk around with his heart shielded for fear that if he opens his heart, somebody's going to abandon him. Let's say, you know, like, let's change it. Let's make it his mother who does that. So the first thing we have to know right away is that, and this is, I have such a sensitive, open heart toward the narcissist because I really was blind. I could not see myself. Like, no matter how much you want that person to see, a lot of times they actually think they're good people, because I know that because I work with a shitload of leaders as well. And I have a frequency test. I can see when people have a closed heart, when they have avoidance or narcissism, I can see it. And I can tell them, but they have to kind of see it on their own. And that's what we do with my methodology. But like, they're stunted because somewhere inside of them, their inner child is crying and like confused and scared. And so the reality is the feminine, she is about 80% of emotions. She has so much power to heal men simply by not reacting to men. And when I say reacting, it's yearning, desperately in love, and being bitter or angry. So I think that's the most amazing piece about this work. When, for example, like, I don't know if you can relate at all, but like, I've been with men and they don't do the inner work. It's totally cool. I have no expectations of what men do. I know I'm doing the inner work. I'm going for gold. You know what I mean? And so it's like a step ladder in life. But the truth is as a woman goes up and up and up, as the woman goes up and up and up, men actually start to go, wait, what? And so we're in a period right now where the feminine is really being asked to heal, and the men will follow after that. The feminine goes first when it comes to healing. And then he's supposed to come after. But like, so many people weren't taught emotional intelligence, and they were raised by women who, for almost probably about three generations now, women that have a lot of bitterness or anger toward the masculine, because there's been a lot of stifling of the feminine. So like, we're trying to figure that out right now. I had a really bad father wound. My father is an excellent man, but I was super, super sensitive. And he would come home from work and then he would leave. I'd be really loud and talkative. And then he would get mad because he was tired, and then he would leave and go back to work. So I tied this story that if I was loud and talkative, no man would love me. And so I had this story. And so that story perpetuated. I'm 40. I'm going to be 42 next month. Like, I still was working that story out like last year, and PTSD just keeps existing. So to answer your question, for me, it's always about self-awareness and knowing that sometimes people just are not willing to look. And you got to like learn to like let go of their journey, even though, especially when they're really close to us, like all we want is that like love and like see what you did to me. Like, what the fuck? Take responsibility. And sometimes that's just simply not available. And it really is like, I don't know if you believe in God or like the divine or any higher power, but it's about trusting like the whole journey. And when you get to that place, you can really start to manifest the life of your dreams. And added bonus, you get hotter, even hotter. It's
Oh, we
fun.
all want to get hotter, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So a lot of people I think that are out there dating get ghosted sort of early on in the relationship. And not always. I've had people contact me who've been ghosted, a couple of years or months in. But let's just say you are in the beginning stages and you're excited about someone. How can you keep the awareness of, the possible narcissism or immaturity you might experience, but also maintain the excitement at the same time? What's your advice for that?
Oh my God, great question. Oh, I love this. Okay. So, first things first, men and women are designed completely different. Women, by natural design, are a little more attachy. We latch on a little quicker and we open up to the masculine a little bit faster. Let's just talk, think. It doesn't actually even have to be a straight relationship. It's because when you're in even, same gender relating, you're still dealing with the two energy aspects. Someone's sort of taking on that sort of submissive-y feminine role, and then the masculine one is taking on more of that kind of leadership role. So there's been a lot of confusion in like, the way that dating advice goes. In fact, it's not even about how women, what they do, it's about how they feel, it's about their frequency and about their vibration and about their heart opening. And that always takes a lot of deeper work. And so keeping the excitement, it's like you almost need to balance. You have to learn how, I call it inner king. It's like this power that you have inside yourself that is going to attract a man that's going to know that like you don't put up with bullshit. Like there is no shortage of hot, confident, self-aware feminine women. And yet for some reason, they still are being affected by being ghosted. And like they may even just like have pain in the heart and then they finally open up to a guy and then he goes. So it's like, and it's always a call for her to work on her personal power. I call it inner king in my practice. And so it's like this dance you have to do inside yourself where it's like, I want to love this man or this person so, so much. And I don't give a fudge cakes if you walk out the door. Like I am holding both of those. How do you get there? Well, my method. But you have to do the energetics. You have to do the deeper, it's called deprogramming, where it's like a lot of core wound work. And once you do it, it's like you also just become magnetic to like really excellent people that don't play those games anymore because they too have healed those wounds.
Asha, have you? I know you just shared a ghosting experience you've had, but before we started recording, you mentioned you'd been ghosted a bunch of times. Are there any personal ghost stories you'd like to share on the podcast today?
Yes. Okay. So that was, thank you so much. So the first one was this man that was attached to my soul for about 18 years. And then the second one was a man who probably wasn't right for me. And I think I learned that I like attached too fast. I learned how quick women attach without actually having healed like their wounds. And then the last one was me attaching to a man and then draining myself. So I essentially like got my payback for my first husband in, if you will, like karma, just evening itself out. And what happened for me in that circumstance was amazing because when that man left, I wasn't mad at him. I actually saw it as a race to find my personal power and heal. So my method, I can help people heal from narcissistic abuse or ghosting in like less than 90 days. Like it depends on the person. And I have the capability and the power inside to do that because of the way that how deep I go. So the reason, and like people will sit in that for sometimes their entire life, like they'll never heal. Like think about it. This guy was attached to me for 18 years. That took me like 3 months to heal from that. because I was doing so much deeper inner energy work. And so the last guy, to go back to that quote about the shaman and how I will know my ally, it was like when he did it, it was like for me. It didn't feel like I wasn't like the victim. I mean, shit, I went through my stuff. Trust me, I was like layers on layers. But now I have such a clear, like knowing that man, I needed that man to get to where I'm going. And like when he ghosted me, it was like almost like a race to like find my own personal power. And then I developed my program, Self-Worth Warriors. I've been able to take 180 women through that program and like 7 men through that. So I've been able to heal, so help in my book, you know, like I've been able to help heal so many people and understand this. Because what happens is if you don't heal it, you're going to end up with the wrong person. And then 7 or 10 years later, you're going to be bitter again, because if you don't heal it, momentum always builds. Like your momentum builds if you are in pain or if you're in the light. So you want to be really, really mindful of that, because you may turn around and be like, why don't I love this person that I'm with? Even though, like, if you were codependent and ghosted, the next relationship you end up in, you may become the one that wants to run away.
Yeah. Is there anything about your method you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I'm a shamanic practitioner. So I do energetics. I'm also certified at the International Trauma Training Institute in PTSD and attachment theory. I've rewritten attachment theory, including the energetics of masculine and feminine. I'm an Institute of Social and Emotional Intelligence facilitator. And I also am a quantum light body activations healer. And I do really cool, like, inner grid work. So like, I try to make you as solid as so fucking solid inside. Right. And then I like pepper it up with this beautiful feminine energy. So it's like really cool, like banks that I build in your body so that you can flow. And it actually helps with money, beauty, and better relating. And I teach all of that. And my specials are like perspective taking and empathy. So in my community, we don't sit around and talk about like how people have hurt. We talk about how people may have hurt us, but it's always stemmed in growth. Like it always has to be about Rosemary's experience. Like you'll hear me say often to my clients, like, I don't really care about them. I care about how you feel and how we can deal with how you feel, because we can't do anything about that person. I can only help you heal. And then that's where like the most transformative results happen. And I have 100% success rate with like over 300 clients in the last 2 years.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It is 80 to 90% of who we are. The fact that it's not in every single medical facility and every single place of employment is, in my opinion, weaponry against humanity. Like that's my goal in this lifetime, is to bring energy work to the masses. So I try to like keep it down to earth as much as I can, because people are like, energy is everything. And then they're equally like, ooh, energy healer. I don't believe in witchcraft. I'm like, well, which one is it? Is like energy everything? Or because it actually is, it's about 90% of us. And so my goal this lifetime is to just really like help people understand it in a way that's like really tangible, and teach it so that you can understand it through storytelling and empathy and connection. And the more connected you are to yourself, the way more connected you're going to be to everybody else. It's awesome.
For those who are not familiar with energy healing, do you mind just giving a brief overview of what it is?
Sure. So we've got about 7 to 10 chakras in our system. So these are like these little circles that are run down the whole center of our body from above our head all the way down to the ground, and even one in the ground that connects us to Mother Earth. And so what we're doing in energy healing is we're basically unclogging your pipes. So for example, you might have a physically bad back as a man, or hips that feel like they're starting to hurt, or a woman, you might have a lot of ache in your thyroid, overactive thyroid. I work with a lot of women with overactive thyroid. I help women get pregnant. And basically what I'm doing is I'm cleaning out your energy field. It's like, I call it like going to the washing, like the car wash, so that you begin to sparkle. And what I do when I do energy work, all so many different methods, but one method is like, let's say Rosemary, you had some trauma from when you were like 12, like PTSD. And let's say you were 12, but you can't remember it. And 80% is in our subconscious mind. I close my eyes, I connect with you, and then I pull up the memory. And so then the next day or the day after, you may be like, oh my gosh, I remember this time, like my mom left me at the library. And then I will say to you, like, cry it out, like get it all out, like give that little girl a hug and let her know that she's safe. And then you go, whoop! And I'm putting together like your pieces of your soul again, so that your soul begins to become shiny. And then the universe pays you. It's so cool. Like the universe just wants you getting lighter and lighter and lighter. It's the coolest shit. Like, so we have like basically, if you can visualize, like let's just pretend like your soul is like a circle inside your body. Your circle is light and shiny, but you may have like little black spots. I basically take the black spots and I like patch them up and put light in them. And when that happens, the black has to come out of your body, the black spot. And so that comes out in tears, rage, frustration, anger. Like, don't be afraid of emotions. Move the emotion all the time. Like, there's nothing scary about emotions. Just do it safely and get them all up and out. And then the gift is on the other side.
Actually, this is something I've heard a lot of people say who've been ghosted, is there's that moment when you just know, like you just get a feeling like out of the blue and you just know you've been ghosted. I've heard so many people describe that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's all energy as well.
For sure. Yeah. Like energetic contracts, I call them, they're way more powerful than earth contracts. Like the earth contracts still matter. Like if you're divorced and stuff, I highly recommend like cleaning that up before dating. That's just my own personal thing. Manifestation is about taking responsibility for all your creations. And that's sometimes not what we want to do. We want to take responsibility for the good stuff. And the reality is like, can you actually own the darkness as well? And that's where you get really powerful.
Asha, this has been a really interesting conversation. Thank you so much for reaching out and coming on the podcast. Where could our listeners find out more about you?
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope that your audience gains a ton of insights. I am on Asha at Asha, AASHA underscore T underscore international on Instagram. And my main platform is Facebook, and I'm AASHAT as in Thomas on Facebook. So I have a linked tree in my Instagram where you can collect some free goodies and just check out some of my work. And I would love to invite anybody into my Facebook group. I do a ton of free stuff, like so much free stuff. I'm doing a free 1 hour teaching next week on people pleasing and sabotage. Like, it's going to be really dope. I am not your everyday energy healer. I'm all about the leather boots, the booty shaking, having fun, soul vibes. Do what you want. Enjoy your freaking life. Make a shitload of cash. Have a lot of awesome sex. Doesn't matter. Just do what brings you joy. And yeah, I try to keep it as real as possible and deliver a ton of content. And I'm always excited for people to come and buy the book or come in, join us for Self-Worth Warriors, which is a really, really cool community. We get about 33 people in it right now.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. And I'll make sure I list all of that in the show notes as well.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much, Rosemary. Bye, everybody.
And listeners, if you want to find more episodes or if you'd like to provide feedback on this episode or you have a ghost story to share, you can find me at theghostpodcast.com. You can find me on Instagram at theghostpodcaststories and on TikTok at theghostpodcast. And as always, thank you for listening.